Countdown to the impeachment trial. What you need to know.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. The formalities are basically over at the United States Senate. The trial begins on Tuesday. Now, the first part of the trial will be that you'll see on television will be the actual rules. There'll be a rule passed and then amendments made and amendments offered to the rules. And when those amendments are offered, this is the first time you will start seeing these legal teams, the seven House managers and the newly expanded legal team from the president. People we knew about but had not yet announced, that were just announced moments ago. You may not even heard about it yet, and we'll go through that. They get an hour on each side. So we get an hour on each side to argue amendments to the rule, either for or against those amendments. So that first day on Tuesday, and the reason why it's Tuesday is because Monday is the MLK holiday. Than will be broadcasting live from D.C., I'll try to join as much as I can on radio. I know I'm going to be doing a lot of television like I did this morning on Fox and Friends. That'll almost always be before the trial begins. And I know I'm going to be on Sean Hannity's television broadcast on Monday night and hopefully throughout the week as well. So you can kind of get a morning update and a later in the night update. Some of that will depend on exactly what the rule says, because Than, what we don't know until after that debate, and that one could go a day and a half, it could go 12 hours, it could go 18 hours, the rules debate. After that, we will actually have a set time. We'll know how long each day will go from start to finish.
That's right, Jordan. And this rules package that will be put forward by Leader McConnell, that is the one that Speaker Pelosi wanted him to put out in advance. He has not done that. He preserved the authority of the United States Senate. But, Jordan, really, no matter what it says, I fully agree with you that there are going to be amendments offered on a number of issues. I think the one that will get the most attention in the media is the question of witnesses. But, Jordan, I think it's important for our listeners to remember, while they're going to hear a lot of reporting about certain senators that want to hear from witnesses, Jordan, all of those senators have said, look, we think the proper way to proceed is the same way that we did in the case of the Clinton impeachment. There will not be an agreement at the beginning as far as witnesses go. That will be a vote that will be taken later on in the process. So, look, I think there's going to be a lot of breathless reporting about certain senators who want to hear from witnesses or potentially might want to hear from witnesses. Jordan, they have all said they are not going to, at least on the Republican side, they are not going to make that decision at the outset. So while there's going to be contentious debate, when those amendments actually get called up, I think you're going to see all of those GOP senators stand with Leader McConnell, and that ultimate decision will be made later in the process.
You know, while I am talking to you on radio, we have our television on here, of course, on Fox News, and I'm seeing myself from early this morning. So it's good to know that getting up early doing that is, again, it's getting across a lot of different portions of the day on Fox. And I want to explain. So the president has now made official, because remember, you had the seven White House the House managers named, those Democrats. Two who voted to impeach the president back in July, along with Al Green, who famously said, we can't beat him at the ballot box, we have to impeach him. That's Zoe Lofgren and Sylvia Garcia. That's two of the House managers, by the way, two things you may not have known about them. Of course, you've got on the House management side, Adam Schiff, who lied about his contact or his staff's contact with the whistleblower, as well as he fabricated the phone call and the actual messages back and forth between the president of the United States and the president of Ukraine. Well, now the president has named his seven top attorneys. These are the attorneys that are going to be presenting orally, making oral arguments on the Senate floor. It's like, I'm on the president's legal team for impeachment. I'll be doing a lot of the media. I'll be on the Senate floor and off the Senate floor. But these are the seven. We come back and we'll go through each one of them that will be making arguments orally on behalf of the president. One of those, of course, our own Jay Sekulow. We'll be right back on Jay Sekulow Live.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. So again, I was on Fox and Friends this morning, and what I wanted to share and purpose of that as part of the legal team was what people can expect now in these next few days. Now, the trial begins Tuesday, and we just talked to you about this rules, how the rules day, which would start Tuesday, is the one that's a little bit more difficult to predict on timing. You know, it's not one that we're going to have we'll know when it starts. We just don't know exactly. I think it's 1 o'clock then, right? 1 p.m. because of the Chief Justice's schedule. 1 p.m. the Senate convenes officially. So, I mean, the lawyers will be there at the tables. The senators must be there Eastern time. But there's not like a specific end to that debate. This can go on, Than, for it took in the Clinton impeachment a total of 2 days. It could go till 1 or 2 in the morning. It doesn't have to, but the reason why is because under the current and probably under the likely rule that will be passed initially and then tried the rule that will then try to be amended. But under the initial rule that will pass, each side, so the president's legal team, the House managers who are in favor of impeachment, and these have to, I would say, you know, that they have to, in a sense, defend these two articles of impeachment because really, that's kind of the position they're in. I mean, I'd say to prosecute these two articles, that is their job, but they're really having to defend them because they're so weak. But then each side gets an hour. Now, they don't have to use all that time. An hour each, so 2 hours possibly, to argue for or against a proposed amendment. The senators don't get to make that. The legal teams do.
That's right, Jordan, but I would still expect that this to be the part of the procedure where a lot of the sort of maybe tertiary arguments that the other side, that those prosecuting the case want to make, Jordan, that they would make them. Because, look, when it gets down into the substance, they're going to lose some of that opportunity. So I think if people are watching these proceedings, they're probably going to see some arguments made and think, wait a minute, this isn't relevant to the amendment to the rule that is put forward. Let's say there's an amendment, Jordan, that wants to amend what time the Senate adjourns on a given day or how much time each side has. I think you will see arguments made that aren't related to that point at hand. So then you might get into a squabble of whether or not it's germane, and you might see motions related to that. But, Jordan, I think this is going to be Probably the part that is going to look the most like a free-for-all, because it will be the opportunity that some of these things that are not central to the case, that the House did not prosecute, I think you will try to see them get those talking points across during this phase of the proceedings.
All right. So I want to go through with you now. So as you know, my dad is one of the lead members of the president's legal team. Now, we're not inside the government. We represent the president in a personal capacity, but he's got other lawyers for like other business things and things like that. What we've done is we've been there since really Mueller, that all began, and we've stayed on since. You know, some people were asking today that I know, oh, you guys were still on the president's legal team. And so we've been on throughout since Mueller was over, because what happened immediately when Mueller was over was all this impeachment talk. And it was clear. I talk about it in my new book, The Next Red Wave. I'd say latest book now. It's not brand new, but the latest book, The Next Red Wave, that we knew at the end of Mueller, this was not done. The deep state had not yet been defeated. And I think the impeachment is proof of that. By the way, folks, you need to buy a copy of The Next Red Wave if you haven't already. Amazon, Barnes & Noble, all the places like Apple and iTunes, you know, and Books A Million, they've got them stocked. Most of them got restocked at the end of the year. But it's easy, of course, to go online and get it the way you want, the audiobook, the ebook, and the hardback. Because after impeachment, when the president is acquitted, when the president is vindicated, and the House managers and the House Democrats have failed to remove a duly elected president of the United States, let's be ready to win. That's what this book does. It's not a book just looking back. It's not a book about complaining. It's a book about how we take all of this and turn it into a red wave. How do we take this impeachment and at a grassroots level turn it into the next red wave? Kick Nancy Pelosi out of the speaker's position. How do you add more good conservatives to the U.S. Senate? How do you reelect the president? I've got a lot of grassroots background in politics before law school, even after law school, on presidential campaigns at the highest level. But I started out going door to door with campaigns, filling up envelopes and making phone calls from call centers. So I want you to, this is a book, again, I've been wanting to write for a long time. It's my guide, and I wrote it with a couple of our ACLJ attorneys who also had that political experience, to winning. And listen, some years are tougher than others, but this year I just think we have this unique opportunity, or I wouldn't be calling it the next red wave, in the midst of all of this. But when the stock market's over 29,000, and the president's signing the China Phase 1 deal, and we've taken out Qassem Soleimani and al-Baghdadi, and we've also, you've got the new replacement for NAFTA, the USMCA, new religious freedom announcements that Than will go over, a president who said, no, we're not going to fund Planned Parenthood under Title 10, which he could do on his own. Didn't have to wait for Congress to figure that out. He could do on his own. And we're going to allow pro-life pregnancy centers to now apply for those funds, which the previous administration didn't. Broadened the Mexico City policy that said the U.S. cannot pay for abortions overseas, and said can't even support organizations that support abortion. Broadened that policy out. Building the wall, trying to secure our borders. Remember that travel ban that he got, you know, this is unconstitutional, until the Supreme Court weighed in and said it was. And let's not forget what I think one of the biggest moves was recognizing Jerusalem officially, as every president has been given the right by Congress to do many, many decades, but none have, Republican or Democrat. He said, I recognize Jerusalem as Israel's capital, the capital of the nation, and move the U.S. embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. There's going to be even more accomplishments before the election. You can look at the other field. I'm not going to tell you who to vote for. But if you want to know how to win in elections even, maybe you're on the other side. This would still help you. You just have to flip it around. You might not be the red wave. But I encourage you to get it. I haven't talked about it a lot because we've had so much else going on. It's been it's a lot of people got the book, but I want to encourage you, as Sean Hannity said, it's a must read for for anyone who cares about America. So check out the Next Red Wave. You can find out all the places to buy it at thenextredwave.com. Let me go through. Okay, so this is what is just breaking now. The president matching the 7 House managers. And Nancy Pelosi was not limited there. She could have had 12, 13. I think Clinton had maybe 14. It was either 14 or 12 Republicans in the Clinton matter impeachment. So it was a bigger number. But she went with 7. So the president has matched that. Now you also want, these are the people who are going to be orally presenting for the most part. I mean, I know on our side of the that's the idea. So they'll be making oral arguments, if you will, if you want to call it that, to the U.S. Senate. And when you're on the president's team, it's for various reasons against the impeachments. I talked about on Fox News this morning. There are the political and partisan aspects to just how it all began. There's the constitutional aspects that this is violating, really, the powers of the president in Article 2 of the Constitution. It's not all about President Trump, though it is. Because that's why they're doing it. If it was any other president, there would be no impeachment trial. It's because of how much they dislike this extremely successful president. You thought I was going to say extremely successful businessman, but he's been an extremely successful president, like him or not, as he often says. Check your 401ks. Check your religious liberty. Look at how much less you're funding abortion through your federal taxpayer dollars. So he's named his team. We knew that my dad, our chief counsel, the ACLJ, Jay Sekulow, was on that team. And Pat Cipollone, the White House counsel. And they're the kind of two leaders of the team. You know, I think some, we're not sure yet exactly how it'll all work out, depending on the hours that they get, how each team will get the same amount of hours. But they will likely both do openings and closings or kind of split that up and things like that. And again, don't hold me to any of that yet because we don't know. In Clinton, each side got 24 hours. So that could take 2 days or 3 days, depending on how long the Senate decides they want to go each day. So you knew about them. But who you didn't know about was Pam Bondi. You knew she may have joined the White House staff, former Attorney General of Florida. Someone I've worked with for a long time in the political side, but was a great attorney general in Florida. Ken Starr, don't think I need to explain him to you. Alan Dershowitz, a liberal, former Harvard law professor, and former lead attorney for the ACLU. So you got ACLU and ACLJ coming together. Jane Raskin, who was on the president's team, former assistant U.S. attorney on the president's team during Mueller. And Robert Ray, who was Ken Starr's deputy and then became the last when we had a independent counsel, was the last independent counsel, amongst other things. I'll go through their bios in full when we come back on Jay Sekulow Live.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org.
We say how absurd this impeachment is. Some will call it overtly partisan. Others will say it is, I think it was Jonathan Turley who said it was be the thinnest margins ever that someone would actually impeach on. And that in actually it would not be, it'd be like the House impeaching itself by going forward with an impeachment like this, because it is made the idea of impeachment so political. Listen to who now the president has announced. Now, I want you to be clear on this. When Nancy Pelosi announces those seven House managers, that's who's going to talk or can talk. I don't know if they all will, but can talk on the Senate floor and present their case and make closing arguments and make motions and things like that. And if unfortunately we got to witnesses, which I don't think we ever should. I mean, I'm one of the people who thinks we should not even be here at all. But we're the lawyers, we got to prepare. So there's the seven of them. Now there's seven named from the president's side. And there's people like me on the president's legal team, just like there are on the House manager side, who are not necessarily going to be making the oral arguments on the floor of the U.S. Senate. Sometimes we may be sitting there at the table, but are playing roles. I'm actually playing a role kind of moving back and forth inside and outside the chamber when it's appropriate. Because you deal with information, you got a lot of documents, and it's again like a trial. So, and also be doing a lot of media, kind of like a spokesperson almost for the legal team, and already started doing that. Already have been doing that, but already, you know, this morning I know I'm doing it with Sean Hannity on Monday night, right before this all kicks off. But let me play for you. This is John Roberts, not the Chief Justice, John Roberts from Fox News. Chief Justice has already been sworn in for this, but they are, again, the Senate dismissed until Tuesday at, is it 1 p.m. when they come back then? Is that, or do they have to be back earlier than that?
Yeah, we don't know yet. I mean, they adjourned at this point until 1 o'clock, Jordan, but that could still change. We'll get an announcement probably on Monday about the time that they'll be in the chamber.
Yeah, I mean, that's like adjourned till 1, and then you have to be there. They swore their oath. You must be there. You cannot leave. There are breaks. I'm sure they'll have their lunch break. I guess maybe at 1 o'clock there won't be a lunch break. There might be a dinner break depending on how long. Probably the first day of through the rules there would be a brief one. But they don't schedule any other votes. And depending on how long these go, and the rule will name how long each day goes after Monday. So people could be there for 12 hours a day. Let's put it that way. It's not hard to imagine. 12 hours a day for those U.S. senators not being able to talk. I don't think they're allowed to have their phones then. I'm almost certain about that. Again, rules will come out. They can try to, you know, act like they're ignoring it and I guess pick up a magazine or something, but they can't leave. And if you're running for president, you can't. It's going to be tougher to go and campaign, especially if it goes until late at night to get out to Iowa. We do know it won't start in the mornings. That's not because of the Senate. That is because of the Chief Justice schedule. The Supreme Court is in session right now. In fact, we have three cases on behalf of the president in March that'll be before the Chief Justice. So he's got to do his work as Chief Justice. That's why you're not going to see a start until at least afternoon. So at least probably around 1 to give him time to get over from the Supreme Court. It's probably going to be one of the busiest times in his career in the last since he's become Chief Justice. Put it that way. Busiest times because he's having to go back and forth. But again, he will plays a very important role in this constitutionally and can defer a lot, but can also, I'll answer your questions. People have a lot of questions about that. But here it is. So you know who the House managers are. Schiff, who lied about his contact and his staff contact with the whistleblower and made up fabricated the narrative instead of reading the transcript. Schiff, who didn't allow Republicans to ask the tough questions and tried to cut them off constantly. Schiff, who's trying to bring in new evidence even after they voted on the articles of impeachment. You got him. You got Nadler, who ran for House Judiciary Chair. And when he ran for House Judiciary Chair, to his fellow Democrats, so internally while he was running amongst his members, other Democrats, he said, "I'll be the best for impeachment. Vote for me for House Judiciary Chair." And he kind of proved he wasn't, because they gave it, honestly, they let Adam Schiff run that show. And he's the lead manager. But he did get the spot as House Judiciary Chair by saying, "I'll be the best for impeachment." Then you've got a couple others. Zoe Lofgren has been there a long time and worked even on the first impeachment for a congressman, the Nixon one. She voted along with a brand new member of Congress, a first-termer, Sylvia Garcia, former judge out of Houston on the Democrat side. She voted along with Zoe Lofgren with Al Green in July of 2019 to impeach the president. For all of this, they were ready to impeach. For all those hearings, two of these managers actually voted to impeach. They even wasn't saying they liked the idea or the president should be. They actually voted to formally impeach the president. And again, so that kind of gives you, and we've gone through those seven enough. Here, John Roberts from Fox News tells you about the seven who'll be presenting orally for the president.
The president's legal team has been finalized, and here is a look at the seven people who will be arguing on behalf of the president, and they will mirror the seven House managers named by Nancy Pelosi earlier this week. Leading it off, the team is Pat Cipollone, the White House counsel. Jay Sekulow, the president's outside attorney, will also be playing a critical role. Ken Starr, of course, who was involved in the Monica Lewinsky report that led to the impeachment of President Bill Clinton. Alan Dershowitz, the Harvard Law professor, who voted for Hillary Clinton and opposed the impeachment of Bill Clinton. He says that he is going to be arguing on behalf of the Constitution for the president. Robert Ray, the former Whitewater prosecutor, the former Attorney General of Florida, Pam Bondi, and Jane Raskin, who was one of the president's key outside attorneys in the Mueller investigation. Jay Sekulow's son, Jordan, will assist his father. He is the executive director of the American Center for Law and Justice.
Yeah, I mean, so there you go. There's the name. Ken Starr, Alan Dershowitz, Jane Raskin, Robert Ray, Pam Bondi, of course, and then the names you've already heard before, Pat Cipollone, White House counsel, and Jay Sekulow. And then as John Roberts explained, there's going to be people, and I'm not the only one, so let me be clear on that, that's going to be assisting that team as kind of these deputies. We'll have space to work off the floor of the U.S. Senate, and I'm sure the House managers get the same, and they'll have their teams as well, because these are long trials that go on for a long time. But I just want to explain, you may forget, I don't think you forgot who Ken Starr is, but just so you know kind of their backgrounds, he was a law clerk to the Chief Justice of the U.S. Supreme Court, a counselor to the U.S. Attorney General. He was an appellate judge and the U.S. Solicitor General, all predating his time as independent counsel. That was when we had a statute for independent counsels, who investigated, of course, Whitewater, and then you know him from Clinton and all of that. By the way, he did not make the case for impeachment. The Republicans in the House still had to do that then. So it was not Ken Starr who, didn't impeach Bill Clinton. He was the independent counsel who found that Bill Clinton had, committed perjury and was investigating the issue, and other people were charged. But the president, because that's the constitutional option, based off what the DOJ policy has long been, was impeached. So Ken Starr never got a chance to argue to impeach Bill Clinton. The House Republicans did at the time. Remember, we talked about that rule. On the Democrat side, only members of the House can actually argue. We'll be right back. Second half hour, a lot to get into on Jay Sekulow Live.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Hey, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. And, you know, this may be probably, not maybe, probably is the final day, at least in the next couple of weeks, that I'll be able to host an entire broadcast of the show. As you know, my dad has not been able to, and you understand why. Thann Bennett will be able to capably do that, along with our team at the ACLJ. We built together an incredible team of not only broadcasters, you know, who can be trained to be good broadcasters, but experts and policy analysts, so that even if there's issues while we're handling the impeachment matter, remember, we're doing that not as the ACLJ, but in our separate roles, as attorneys for the president. Mine is kind of like a deputy role. I think John Roberts said assisting his dad, but, you know, really assisting the team. It was a team effort there on the president's side, and a combo of both White House counsel attorneys and then private attorneys, outside attorneys, if you will, who represent the president in his individual capacity, coming together as a team for this, just like any president would have if they faced this. Fortunately for our country, this not many have. And unfortunately for our country, many might in the future, because if this sets any bar for impeachment, which is part of, I don't want to give any of our arguments away, but this is not right for our country. Thankfully, we have a president who can get past, you know, so many of these issues and keep working hard. I mean, so Thann, we talked yesterday about USMCA. Has the president signed that yet? I'm not sure if he's had the signing ceremony for that yet, but it will be soon. And that will replace NAFTA officially, right?
That's right, Jordan. I don't believe he's signed it yet. I don't think it's been presented to him yet. That typically takes a day or two, but it has cleared both chambers, so there's really no mystery left, Jordan. As you know, it passed the House a few weeks ago, passed the Senate overwhelmingly with 89 votes, Jordan, yesterday. So, you know, you've been talking about some of the politics of this, and I actually think USMCA and the China trade deal are a big piece of that, because simultaneously, Jordan, you're going to have Democrats in the Senate, the House and the Senate, trying to impeach a president based on the way he conducts foreign affairs, while simultaneously working alongside him to accomplish two major foreign policy initiatives. Jordan, it's trying to have your cake and eat it too. And thankfully, because this is a political exercise, the political hypocrisy that those actions make, Jordan, the American people are going to see through that. I'm confident of it.
Okay. And so what we also know, Thann, though, and I want to get this out right now in this segment, because I know we got a lot of questions about impeachment. And I understand that. And if you have questions about it, for me especially, I've got some more info for you about kind of what you're going to see procedurally over the weekend. Documents that will be filed. I'm not sure how the speaker's office, not the speaker, but the majority leader's office will handle releasing those to the public. But they're not like private documents that are going to be filed by both the president's legal team and then the House managers, all Democrats, as a partisan impeachment. But then the administration's made some major moves on religious liberty as well. And we can get into it again maybe a little bit later in the broadcast and maybe even next week. But I'm sure we're going to write a blog on it. We're going to get people updated, because it's a number of things that the administration has done. I mean, it's titled, again, for, you know, equal treatment, and really it's for religious liberty of students and of all Americans and religious organizations.
Jordan, it was a bevy of actions on the behalf of the administration on behalf of religious freedom. I'm kind of putting them into three buckets. There's sort of different ways you can look at it, but one of them is specific guidance for students and their ability to pray and read religious texts in schools. Jordan, as you know, when we've handled a bunch of those cases, a lot of times they can be resolved with demand letters. Jordan, essentially the administration put out a demand letter so that everyone knows the laws. The two other buckets, real quickly, OMB put out some guidance about how states have to treat religious entities. And then nine agencies, Jordan, put out rules, which we will comment on, that says you cannot discriminate against religious organizations that participate in social service grant programs. We can get into the specifics, Jordan, but the reach of that, of those nine agency rules, is tremendous. It was a huge day for religious freedom yesterday because of the actions the administration took.
Folks, surprise, surprise, Jim Comey being investigated again for an FBI leak? That's developing. We're back on Jay Sekulow Live in just a few minutes. Remember to support the work of the ACLJ. It continues during all this. We have a big team. Donate if you can, aclj.org.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Let me tell you a little bit more about some of the president's legal team that will be making arguments on the floor of the U.S. Senate. And again, it could happen probably, you know, the opening will be probably over 2 or 3 days. This all depends on the initial day of rulemaking. But you will hear from some of them on that day, the first day of the trial on Tuesday, because they can debate the rules. I don't want to say that over and over, but when you tune in Tuesday, you will start hearing from the attorneys. That won't be their opening statements yet. And not everything is an opening. You know, you kind of have this long opening statements, and then you will, you know, have a closing statement as well, because you'll probably go for at least 2 days. You're going to cover a number of topics. I'm not going to tell you all those are, not because I don't like all of you listening to this broadcast, but because, you know, we've got a client to represent here, and I don't want to give Adam Schiffer's team anything they can use to try and any extra information they have to get. But I will tell you that we will all likely see two documents. So look for this weekend. An answer from the president's team, because the articles were officially filed with the Senate, and the Senate was sworn in, and the White House was notified. So you will see first an answer. This is not a long document, probably five pages or so. An answer, and usually in court, if you have like a legal experience, you'll know it's you kind of admit or deny, and you could say, you know, and then you could put forward substantive defenses and things like that, and you could put forward, you need to actually claim what defenses you're going to put through. Obviously, in this, it's not exactly like a normal trial. So what you're going to see here is a more significant response, even in this answer, which is not long. So don't think for a moment, this is all they're putting forward. No, this is the initial. This is what you do. This is how you do it. And then so that's tomorrow, Saturday. That'll be filed. I don't know when you'll be able to see it. I'm sure that there's being websites being set up to put those documents out there. It's not secret or anything like that. Once it's filed, the other side can see it. It's, you know, that's part of trials. When you file documents, both sides can see it, and the public typically, and in this case, definitely, because the impeachment trial. So first, you're going to get an answer. It will be significant. You'll want to read that if it's available tomorrow. I'll make sure it's tweeted out from my account at Jordan Seculo and on my Facebook page if it's available tomorrow online. Then on Sunday or Monday, the president's team will file the longer brief. That's basically the way to describe it. This is a much longer document more substantive. So you combine the answer, which is significant in its on its own, and the brief, and you realize this is the first time the president has been able to file anything in this whole impeachment. He's had Republicans in the House who did a great job fighting for him, fighting against this ridiculous impeachment. But it's the first time the president and his attorneys have had due process. I mean, Than, that's why, yes, usually filing of the brief, it's important because it's an important part of a case, and you can go to it and kind of get the real heart of the matter. And I think for most of our listeners, they're going to actually enjoy going through the answer in the brief. But for this case, it's the first time those of us who represent the president, though all of us wish we weren't here and having to do this, it's the first time we're being treated equally and we get to put forward a case on paper. We'll also do so, of course, orally as well to those U.S. senators.
Jordan, it's the first time it's truly adversarial. I mean, you know, you sometimes had the minority allowed to be in the depositions that were behind closed doors. Then when you saw the proceedings at House Intel or House Judiciary, you had whatever Republicans happened to be on that committee able to participate to some extent. You had the counsels for the chairman and the ranking member able to present. But Jordan, it wasn't truly adversarial in the sense that someone who actually represented the president, in this case, sort of the defendant, be able to present the case. That's why it's pretty remarkable to me, Jordan, that we get to this point of the process and the case looks as weak as it is. Because typically, when only one side gets to present a case, which is really where we're at, that case looks pretty strong, Jordan. So the fact that the case looks this weak without the process having been adversarial to this point is pretty telling. Jordan, I think when you see the president's defense team get up and start making not only presentations, but also defenses to the accusations that have been brought, Jordan, I think the case that we think looks weak now will look extraordinarily weaker at that point. That's what always happens when you get both sides presenting.
Yeah, so look for that even throughout the weekend for the answer from the president's legal team, shorter document, but significant. Read it if it's made available by the majority leader's office, or if they're setting up like an impeachment website in the Senate, which will have all the documents. And then, of course, the brief, which could be filed as early from our team as Sunday, might be Monday. So Sunday or Monday there. And when that happens, we'll make sure you know, either through the radio broadcast or through social media. And then, of course, the other side, they file as well. Their initial filing were the articles of impeachment. They will then file their reply brief. And I think they have until the day it begins on that Tuesday to file. So you won't, they've already put forward, in a sense, what they have to argue is the articles. That's what they've got to argue. Now, I'm going to take some of your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. Beverly Young, though, on Facebook, she wrote in something that I think is just perfect. A former ACLU lawyer, and to say just ACLU lawyer, it's Alan Dershowitz. Famous criminal defense attorney, famous liberal attorney was associated with the ACLU for a long time until he thought that they started representing some things which he disagreed with. But again, was famous for his work with the ACLU. That when ACLU, former ACLU attorneys, he was a Harvard law professor, teaming up with current ACLJ lawyers should tell you everything you need to know about this sham of a trial. I'll let that Facebook comment. I think it speaks volumes, and it speaks for itself. I want to go right to the phones. Jerry from Rhode Island on line 2. Jerry, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hello, team. This question was directed at Professor Harry because of your position. Is there a conflict in defending the 45th president as an individual while he was doing his Article II powers? And is there a separate entity of this team, maybe Dershowitz, maybe Cipollone, who's protecting the office of the president's Article 12 for the 46th president, 47th president? How does that conflict with each other?
Well, it doesn't conflict. The president is on – President Trump, unfortunately, is the president being impeached. So, yes, the White House counsel's office, they represent the office of the president and the president that they're working for, which is President Trump. So if the president is impeached, the White House counsel is involved. Some people ask that. Isn't the White House counsel only supposed to represent the office of the president, not actually the president? In impeachments, I mean, at least in what we know from history, they have been, because since they do both, they provide legal advice to the president of the United States that they work for, which is President Trump in this case, and also the office of the president. But who holds the office of the president? Well, it's Donald Trump right now. So all of our arguments, you'll see. I mean, they go to not just, this is not just about defending President Trump. I mean, though I think that we're only here because he's been so successful and because he's such a political threat, and the movement he's created is such a political threat to the left and to actually some of the mainstream Democrats as well, like the Pelosi's and Schumer's of the world. That's why we're even here. But there's no conflict because as I said on Fox News, I don't know if we have time to play we don't have time to play the bite now. We're there ready, we're substantially to defend the president from the ridiculous article. So what he's being accused of, what he is being accused of doing as an impeachable offense, we're ready to defend those. They're absurd, these two articles. Not easy to prosecute for the other side, which is why they constantly want to be bringing in more info that hasn't even been verified. Notes a guy wrote on a piece of paper. Really, when? When did you write that note? I could take a hotel notepad, write notes now that look like I wrote 3 months ago. Is that how you're going to do more? We can take more hearsay here? More how I felt? Feelings? An impeachment based off feelings and... again, the idea of hearsay, policy disputes. We had the GAO do that. We disagree that the president can hold money back from a policy. Well, so did the Obama administration 8 times disagreed with the GAO. The GAO has no enforcement mechanism. So just put that one out of your head, that whole GAO argument. It goes nowhere because the Obama administration and past administration said, GAO, you don't know what you're talking about all the time when it comes to presidential power. You just try to insert yourself into the big conflicts of the day. But so, yes, you're defending the president, but of course, as Americans, you don't want to see this happen to any president. You don't want to set the precedent that this is the level that things have to rise to for impeachment, the low, low bar. Because if so, every president's going to end up getting impeached for political purposes, on totally partisan lines. The only thing partisan about this, even the last vote the House took, was that one Democrat voted against it with the Republicans. Only Democrats. Even Justin Amash, the independent who left the Republican Party, he only voted present when this ultimately got to sending it over to the U.S. Senate. Maybe he was mad he didn't get named being House manager. We'll be back on Jay Sekulow Live.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org.
going to jump right in here because it's a final segment. I want to take your phone calls and finish talking about the president's legal team. We've spent their time on, you know, the House managers. So we've talked about Ken Starr and kind of reminded you about some things you may not have known about him, like the fact that he was a judge on the federal district court in D.C., Circuit Court of Appeals, a very powerful court. And that was before he became Solicitor General of the United States. It represents the United States before the U.S. Supreme Court. And before he was the independent counsel, which was an actual office set up by Congress, by law. So he got chosen to be that. He did not, as a reminder, make the case that Bill Clinton should be impeached on the floor of the Senate in the 1990s. That was, again, it had to be House managers. In that case, it was Republicans. And so Bill Clinton had his legal team, which was a mix of the White House counsel and other attorneys. But it wasn't Ken Starr that did that. He prosecuted others involved with Whitewater, things like that. But we have, and we talked about Alan Dershowitz, ACLU, O.J. Simpson, Harvard Law. These are guys that have clerked to Supreme Court justices and things like that. Also, you know, with Alan Dershowitz, this is not someone who is really conservative. Hasn't liked all the Democrats' new positions on Israel, but you know, has even said in his interviews he did not vote for this president. And considers himself still to be a liberal. He was formerly with the ACLU and just recently retired just the last few years from Harvard Law. In the impeachment trial of Bill Clinton, he was on the side of Bill Clinton. And he was one of those expert witnesses that was brought in by the House to testify as a constitutional expert. You know, Pat Cipollone, by now, I think if you watch news, White House counsel, formerly a big corporate, but also he was in the Department of Justice as well. Goes so far back as actually he was a speechwriter for the now Attorney General, but also former Attorney General, Bill Barr. Jay Sekulow, Ulysses broadcast, you know him well, argued a dozen cases at the U.S. Supreme Court, many, many, many more at the U.S. Court of Appeals, international courts, most recently the International Criminal Court. You got Pam Bondi, of course, at the former Florida Attorney General, also was a prosecutor before that in some very high-profile criminal cases. You also have a couple more names I want to get to. Jane Raskin, this kind of ends it up, wraps it up. Jane was someone who was on the president's legal team, got to know well throughout the Mueller probe, through the Mueller report. She is someone who started out in law firms in her legal practice, but then in the 80s joined the DOJ's organized crime and racketeering section, then became an assistant attorney general of the criminal division in Washington, D.C., and later served as first assistant United States attorney for the District of Massachusetts, went into private practice and again represented the president during Mueller as well. And then you've got Robert Ray. Now, Robert Ray, if you watch Fox News, you've probably seen him more and more recently. He was the successor to Ken Starr before the House, before Congress removed the office of the independent counsel. There actually was still that office, and he was the successor. He was Ken Starr's kind of deputy. Also during the Lewinsky scandal and Whitewater as well. He was an assistant U.S. attorney for the Southern District of New York and deputy independent counsel investigating a former Secretary of Agriculture, Mike Espy. That's a famous case as well. You've seen him on Fox News. So you know a lot of these folks also are not only just ready to make good oral arguments. Then we're going to get to your phone calls. We've got it down to three calls. And those are the three. We're going to take you, Chris, Judith, and Tina. But Stan, part of this in 2020, which is different than the 1990s even, and that was still kind of made for TV in a sense, is gavel-to-gavel coverage, HD, QLED, OLED TV, you know, every sweat drop, every look, everything that's on your piece of paper, potentially, though, you know, again, and even what senators expect these days too, when they think of attorneys at this level, they expect that you can make a case in a very smooth way, in a very professional way, because you're talking to the senators and they are the main audience because they decide to impeach or not. But in these matters, you're also speaking to the American people, and that's having that ability like to go on TV and kind of stare into the black dot and still be able to connect with people and people can follow you and understand you, or even like what we do on radio where you don't even see us, but you can take in what we're saying just with our words. And we've been doing it a long time, and And I'm not saying I'm the best at it, but you know, we work at it all the time. So Dan, that's part of this significantly. And I'm thinking right now, if you're those house managers, you're going, uh-oh, Alan Dershowitz, ACLU, former ACLU, Harvard Law, Robert Ray, and Ken Starr. I mean, this team just got a lot bigger. And then you've got all the people like me who, by the way, go on TV a lot, do radio like this. We're the assistants. Okay, so I mean, you know, this now you're starting to see what a full defense of the president looks like then, and we did not see that in the House.
Well, and Jordan, there might not have been HDTV in the time of the founders, but it was always designed actually to have to appeal to the American people. That's why it was set up as a political process. So look, the most important factor is always going to be the facts, and I think there's a weak case here. But yes, the presentation of the case is going to be important on both sides, and I think you can clearly see in the makeup of the president's defense team that was taken into account. The other factor here, Jordan, yes, you have to convince the American people. You have to convince the American people because they are the ones who have the ability to inflict political accountability onto the jurors, so to speak, the senators. And Jordan, I put all of these pieces together, and this is why I think there is a much greater likelihood that there is a bipartisan vote to exonerate the president than I do there is a bipartisan vote to convict him. I think the most two likely senators to cross party lines at the end of the day, when that 67 threshold is the one that's being invoked, Jordan, I think it's Joe Manchin of West Virginia and Doug Jones of Alabama for a lot of the reasons that you just laid out.
Let me get to these final two phone calls of the day. Tina in Texas on line five, you held on a long time. We'll get you a copy of the next Red Wave. I'll sign it for you. Tina, thanks. You're on the air.
Great. Thanks, Jordan. Just quick question. Can't the Senate vote to dismiss with prejudice for lack of evidence?
It doesn't have to even be that legalese. I get what you're meaning. You know, with prejudice means you can't bring it again. Unfortunately, House could keep impeaching on different matters, and the Senate would have to deal with it. They can do that. The votes are likely not there right now. But as I was kind of indicating on Fox News, Stan, and just briefly, because I want to take Chris's call. So, Chris, hang on, because you got a good question. A very good question. A good enough question, which if I could send you four books, I would send. That's why I wanted to hold it to the final one. But Than, they can do a motion to dismiss right out of the bat with 51 votes, but you got to get 51 votes. I don't know if you're there yet with Susan Collins, Lisa Murkowski, Mitt Romney, Cory Gardner, maybe some others, but at least those four.
I would just tell you very quickly, they might get there, Jordan. We've seen it very recently. The Judge Kavanaugh case is not that dissimilar. I would just say that.
No, I'm telling you, Jerry Nadler made a fatal error when he started attacking the Senate, which if you're Cory Gardner, as I said on TV, Susan Collins and Murkowski and Mitt Romney, folks like that, you realize they're coming after you, saying you can't be a moderate if you don't do everything we want. That's just wrong. Let's take Chris very quickly in Nevada on line one, because Chris, this is one could be debated within. You're on the air.
Hi. I'm trying to understand Chief Justice Roberts' role in this.
Yeah.
Is it just to rule on procedural matters and motions, or does he have an ultimate vote down the road on what?
Does not have an ultimate vote. In fact, any of his votes on procedures or motions, if he decides to take a position on a procedure or motion, can be the Senate can override. So they're not ever the final, because as the chief has said and the Supreme Court said, this is the Senate's job here. We oversee it and we help manage it. And he can defer all of it too to the Senate. He doesn't even have to make those decisions. But if he does, it can be the Senate can override him, and that's that. We will talk to you. Go to ACLJ.org. We got a lot of other info up there. ACLJ.org. What begins?
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.